Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast, the new league year is here as Shiny J and I take a look at the Lions personnel moves via the trade and free agency thus far. And we get into an in-depth discussion about the Matt Patricia, Darius Slay drama at Allen Park. And lastly, we play Stomp the Sean one more time to see if we can get him to answer all our trivia questions. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Dan podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shiny J.
What's happening, Lions fans? Hope you all staying safe from this coronavirus.
All right. Welcome to the show. We're back. And like Shiny J said, welcome to the show. And we hope that you're being safe from the coronavirus. And how's everything going in Detroit, my man, Shiny J?
Things are okay. I'm staying safe. I'm washing my hands, keep my hand sanitizer close, and trying to live life as best I can.
Right. We're doing the same thing here in North Carolina, keeping my hands clean, sanitizing the house, sanitizing my car. Make sure I'm wearing a mask when I go out, just to make sure I'm keeping myself and my family safe from COVID-19. But it's time to get into the show. Lots to talk about, lots of moving parts for the first week of the league season. We are episode 301. And as always, a reminder at the beginning of the show, hey, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button down below, hit the like. And if you're watching on Facebook, hit the like, share it with your friends. Here at the Die Hard Dan podcast, we're bringing you the best content we can. We want to improve each week and bring you better content. But as we always do at this time, it is time for Tell Me Something Good. Now, the league is on hiatus, so there's not a lot of things going on in the community for the Lions. But one thing we like to do here at the Die Hard Den podcast is share good news. And we want to share an addition to the Die Hard Den and to the Lions Den family. New Lions safety, Daron Harmon, and his wife, Christine, are expecting their fourth child that's due in June. That is always good when we add new members to the pride for the Lions.
Yes, it is. I pray for them. Welcome to the G, Daron, and may you and your wife have a healthy baby.
All right. Now it's time to hop into it. Let's talk about the additions to the Lions on the ball. All right. On the ball this week, we're going to talk about the Lions' new additions to the team. All right. First up, we'll look at offensive tackle Vaitai coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles. He has a 74.4 PFF score with a rank of 22. What do you think about Mr. Vaitai coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles, my man?
He's a big boy. He has a lot of potential. He's 6'6", about 325. He's younger than Rich Ragnar, the guy he's potentially replacing. I think they brought him to be a starter. Now, once again, a lot of Lions fans, you know how Lions fans are. They're skeptical. It's, oh man, the Lions gave $50 million for a career backup. Well, he started some games. I think he has potential. Lions just wouldn't give $50 million to anybody. We hope they wouldn't. We hope Bob Quinn's a better judge of talent than that. Got the man has size. He has the ability, like you said, he had a pretty decent PFF. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It could be higher, but it's not bad. If it's like even any lower than that, you would question it, but right. It's not bad. I think he's playing time. He saw the opportunity to get playing time. Detroit goes to a starting role. Mm-hmm. Once again, he's big. He has all the intangibles, all the tools, the size. Now he just needs playing experience. I love it. You know, I love my big offensive line. Right. I love the signing. He was the first guy they signed in free agency. And Matthew Stafford, once again, anytime you get some freshmen up front from Matthew Stafford, he'll be happy too.
Right. I think it's a good signing. Looking at his PFF score, like you said, it's pretty good. And he's versatile. You know, if you look at his role in Philly, he can play guard, he can play tackle. I think the Lions are going to use him on the right side of the line. That's his best side for playing tackle. And people will say that, well, he gave up a lot of sacks or quarterback rushes or hurries. However, you have to look at the quarterback he was playing with. Carson Wentz has a propensity to hold the ball in the pocket, so looking for the deep pass. So that's where a lot of his trouble came from. But I think it's a good signing by the Lions. I'm not crazy about it, but I think it's a good signing. Next up, we have Jamie Collins coming over from the New England Patriots. He signed a 3-year deal, $30 million. PFF score is a 72.5. 6.2 and a rank of 16 among outside linebackers. So what do you think about my man Jamie Collins coming over from the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a good signing. Once again, it's another former Patriot. We signed a couple former Patriots, mm-hmm. as we're getting to, as we go on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Collins, he's up in age. He'll be 31 years old, but I still think he has a couple good years left. He said he gets a locker room presence. Mm-hmm. He knows what Patricia wants. That's why he's getting these Patriot guys. Mm-hmm. As we get into why Darius Slade could adjust to him. But that's why he's getting so many Patriot guys. They know about the Patriot way. They understand. They don't take what he says or what Belichick says personally. They take it as a challenge to get better. I think that was part of Slade's mistake. I know he's coming from, but then again, I know where Patricia's coming from. Right. We'll talk about that later in the podcast. But Collins, he still has some, he can give you something. He can use some, he's a playmaker. He can use some quarterback sacks. At least interceptions, a leader on defense, leader on locker room. He still has some left in the tank, so I think we can give the Lions 2 good years.
Right. Now, we won't really go down the list of everyone as far as what their PFF scores are and everything like that, but those are some of the bigger names that I really want to talk about. You know, we added Chase Daniels as a quarterback. I think it's a good, solid backup for Stafford. I don't think he has a professional backup, and Daniel is a guy who has played pretty solid. I mean, he ripped us up on Thanksgiving, but Chase Daniel is a good quarterback. He's played behind the likes of Drew Brees and a few other guys. I think he's a very solid guy as a professional backup quarterback.
Yes, he is. Solid backup. I don't mind Chase Daniel coming along. He understands his role. He's getting paid nicely. He understands his role. He only played. Matthew Stafford gets hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of guys, they got that ego. They feel like they should be starting. That's why I guess the Lions couldn't go after a Cam Newton or a Jameis Winston to be the backup. Those guys still want to start. And you can't blame him for that, but you got a guy who's willing to accept this role and can fill his role well if called upon.
Right. Now, looking at the rest of the guys, before we get into one, a couple of guys I want to key on, you know, you're looking at Nick Williams and Danny Shelton in the defensive interior line. You had Tony McCray, a good, solid cornerback that plays on the special teams. That's why he came over. He has a relationship with Combs as his special teams coordinator in Cincinnati. But the other guys I really want to look at is Javon Kearse coming over from Minnesota. He has a PFF score of 89. I mean, that's elite for a safety. And we already have Daron Harmon coming over, like we talked about earlier, via trade. He wants to compete for a starting job. It's going to be hard looking at the two guys that's going to be ahead of him in Tracy Walker and Kearse. That's going to be a tough sledding for him to get that starting nod and in Detroit going up against those two individuals who have a better, higher PFF score and more playing, consistently paying percentages on the field. So you look at those two. And with Javon Kearse and Tracy Walker playing in front of Daron Harmon. But the other guy I really want to talk about is the cornerback that came over, Desmond Trufant. If you look at his numbers, right, I'm going to give you Slay's numbers and I'm going to give you Desmond Trufant's numbers for their career. All right. So Darius Slay in his career, he had 19 interceptions. And he had 104 pass breakups, and they were drafted in 2013. Both of them were drafted both of those years. Games played, you had 103, and games started 94 for Darius Slay. Desmond Trufant, again, drafted in 2013, the same draft class as Slay. He had 97 starts with 97 games played. He's been a starter since he's been in the league. He had 2 years, 2016 and 2019, where he only played 9 games because of injury. He had 79 pass breakups and 13 interceptions. If you look at both of those guys, as far as Slay has definitely has more pass defended than Desmond, where I would say Slay probably covered the number one receiver and probably was thrown at more just because of the fact that the role he had. But their numbers are comparable. If you look at the PFF score, the PFF scores are similar. However, Desmond Trufant ranked 32nd in the league at corners. And like we said, the PFF score and the rankings really don't mean much because Darius Slay was only ranked 83rd by PFF. But they have comparable numbers. I will give the edge to Slay, which he's a 3-time Pro Bowler, and Desmond Trufant is only a 1-time Pro Bowler. And Darius Slay has also made an All-Pro team. So what do you think about the comparison between the newly acquired Desmond Trufant and one Darius Slay?
And once again, you can't necessarily go by Pro Bowls either, because Pro Bowls, like I said, aren't what they used to be. Pro Bowls are nothing more, you know, who the fans vote in. It's a popularity contest. Or if the guy who was voted in decides he doesn't want to play, the next guy up, you know, gets to play. So
right. Well, Darius, can't really go by well, hold on. Darius was voted. He wasn't never an alternate. He was always a voted to the Pro Bowl. He was never an alternate. He was voted to both all three of his Pro Bowls. He made those where he was selected firsthand by the fans. And that means okay. He has respect around the league, not just in Detroit.
All right. And but you know what I'm saying? Okay, you can't necessarily go by Pro Bowl appearances, because it's not always the best players who play in that game.
Right.
They can go to the NBA All-Star Game and NHL All-Star Game and Major League Baseball All-Star Game. It's more of a popularity contest than necessarily the best player, because like you use an example. Remember the great Ozzie Smith of the St. Louis Cardinals, Wiz of Oz?
Definitely.
He's a spectacular player. He is a great defensive player. I remember he went to All-Star Game with only a batting average of 200. And one home run and 19 RBIs, something like that.
Right.
I mean, those aren't particularly all-star numbers, but he's so well-liked and known by the fans, he's basically got in off of name recognition. So can't always go by that.
Right.
And, you know, players when they have good years, they have down years, but they're so popular with the fans, they'll get voted anyway.
Right.
They can't always go by that. But moving on, Trufant, like I said, Trufant and Slay did come out in the same draft. Trufant was number one pick, Slay number two. They do have some careers. I was hoping that when they signed Trufant, they could have kept both him and Slay on both corners. How awesome that would have been.
Right.
Yeah, I know that you finally still got, like I said, a couple good years left. Mm-hmm. I don't expect him to have a 10-year career with the Lions, but he has at least 2-3 years left. Same as Jamie Collins.
Right.
I think what this does with the trade of Slay, it opens the door. It's more and more looking more and more like a possibility that they'll take your boy from Ohio State, Okuda,
right,
with the number one pick, Jeff Simmons. Or, but
right,
if they see at three, mm-hmm, and Washington picks the quarterback Tua, mm-hmm, so like the coach is threatening, new coach is threatening, and it's Chase Young, because they're going to take Young. So is it going to be Okuda or Young with a low chance of Isaiah Simmons? That's still my guy.
Right.
But it looks like it's going to be Okuda or Young based on the players they signed, Grayson, like Collins, and of course, they traded away Slay, but they drafted, Trufant.
Trufant, yeah.
So, like I said, it's either going to be Young if he's there, or definitely Okuda. I see that happening now. With an outside chance of Simmons still, but it's going to be one of the Ohio State guys, I can tell you that.
Right.
And it might be, they might get a third Ohio State game guy in the second around there. The running back, you know, the one you got,
right, Dobbins.
I want a running back.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So,
but I still like Jonathan Taylor, of course. But,
right.
Hey, as a Wolverine fan, you know, I hate the Buckeyes, but the Buckeyes kept my Lions. I love them.
Right. So looking at the rest of the signings, really, you just have a few re-signs. Don Muehlbeck, of course, re-signed. Danny Amendola. And a new re-signing recently is Miles Killebrew. And I think that's more to do with his contribution on special teams. He's become a key part of the Lions special teams over the last few years under Matt Patricia. I think he's really taken him out of the rotation as far as playing as an integral part of rotation as a safety. And really, he's found his niche playing in special teams. So good.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
What's up?
How important is special teams in today's game, especially on kickoffs? They pretty much took kickoffs away where guys pretty much shoot the ball through the back of the end zone for all my touchbacks. You have very few returns.
Right.
Yeah, you get point returns still, but had at least a third of the kickoff special teams been taken away. I know you block or extra points and field goal attempts.
Right.
But
I think being a gunner the way he is, I think that's key, because he has a lot of tackles for special teams. So I think that's really key. I think he has like 37 career tackles, and most of those came in the last 2 years for the Lions. So I think that, you know, I think it's still important for your gunners, and because you don't want any guys to be running kickoffs back all down, you know, up and down the field, kickoffs or punts. So I think it's still important as far as the punt game is concerned. And the kickoff is concerned, it makes sure you still have some good, solid tacklers on the defense team for punts and kickoffs.
Right, okay.
Right. So,
yeah, but you like what they do with the kickoff gang? I mean, you think they should maybe adapt the XFL rule where you have like
I do like the XFL rule. I like the XFL rule because it keeps it an integral part of the game, and it keeps it kind of safe where, you know, those guys can't move until the ball is touched. And then you have a mini touchback, and then you have a regular touchback, you know, so you kind of penalize them for down the ball, you know, in field of play where they'll get with the 15-yard line or something like that. And if it goes through the end zone, it's at the 25 or whatever it is, however their rules are set up. I do like it. I like the fact that it makes it, it keeps a level of intrigue and keeps it exciting and safe at the same time. So I do like the XFL rules for the kickoff.
Over the last 25 years, the league has been tinkering with the game, trying to make it safe. I mean, you can't hardly hit a quarterback anymore.
Right.
And you can't hardly tackle anybody, can't hardly hit anymore.
Right.
Or tackle. I mean, what would Jack Tatum say?
Well, you know, but you look at the athletes that are today take, they're bigger, stronger, faster, and they really take care of their bodies, you know, a lot better than the guys back in the day. I mean, I remember hearing a story from John Riggins where John Riggins were, you know, they were out, you know, having a six pack and smoking cigarettes during practice. You know, you know, a lot of athletes today, they don't put anything in their body. A lot of them don't drink, they don't smoke, or, you know, put anything toxic in their bodies. So, except for when they get hooked on maybe the opioid or something like that. But, you know, you have a lot of them that don't do anything extracurricular and they want to take care of their body as much as possible. So, you know, the athletes today, they train harder, they train longer in the off season on their own. You know, they're, you know, you look at the body fat content of a running back now compared to John Riggins, you know, who pretty much live wild, you know, there's no comparison to what the players do now to their bodies compared to what, and you have to keep the player safe, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. The league was seeing a rise of, you know, career-ending catastrophic injuries on kickoffs and punts. So that's why they changed the rules.
Exactly. I want to see the guys safe, but then again, it takes away, you know, part of the, you know, a little football is the big hits, the big plays. But we got to think about the players. We don't want any more Gerald Stingleys.
No, we don't want that.
Mike, you know. Yeah.
No, we don't want any guys who don't walk, you know, that can't, you know, the quality of life, they can't walk, you know, they're in wheelchairs. You know, they have a hard enough time with their quality of life after the game, but you don't want to add anything extra to make sure that, you know, they can live a good quality of life after they finish playing. So that's on the ball. So let's go to the departures and the fin to den. Okay, so the departures from the Lions that signed elsewhere. Graham Glasgow signed with the Broncos. Jeff Driscoll with the Broncos as well. You have J.D. McKissic that's going to sign with the Redskins. A'shaun Robinson signed with the Rams. And Logan Thomas is signing with the Washington Redskins as well. If you look at the players who remain unsigned, Ode Adebuse, Kenny Wiggins, Jermaine Kearse, Mike Daniels, Darius Kilgore, Rashawn Melvin, safety Tavon Wilson, and the punter Sam Martin is all still remain unsigned. Looking at the restricted free agents, J.D. McKissic, like we just said, and Jamie Murder was not tendered his free agent, but you have two cornerbacks that were tendered their exclusive right as free agents was Mike Ford and D. Virgin. Those guys play an integral part in the backup roles as corners and playing on special teams. Now, the Lions did release Damon Harrison, Wick Wagner, and a surprise release, Devon Kennard, which made way for them to sign Jamie Collins. And they released one Kyle Slaughter, the quarterback. As far as the departures concerned, and we'll get to the big name here shortly, looking at those departures, who is the biggest surprise for you as far as you thought the Lions were just going to sign this guy back to the squad?
Kennard is the biggest surprise and disappointment by far. I was happy when the Lions signed him from the Giants a couple years ago because he had pass rushing ability. He has best two seasons rushing the pass with the Lions with 7 sacks in both 2018 and 2019.
Right.
I thought him and Collins would have made some good bookends, you know, but I guess there wasn't enough room for those guys. Like I said, I don't know. The moves they made were still draft Simmons. It's still a possibility. I was looking more and more like a Kudus coming to the guy, but I was still disappointed to see Kennard go. He signed with the Cardinals, did he not?
Yes, he did sign with the Cardinals. He signed right after he got released. The next day, he was on a team. All right, so... now the one traded player is one Darius Big Play Slay. Now, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can see I am wearing my 23 Darius Slay throwback jersey I bought last season. I hit him up on Twitter and I told him I will be wearing this jersey on the podcast, and I had to live up to that. I did tell him I was going to wear it. If he sees it or not, you know, okay, well, whatever. But in paying honor to him and his career at the Lions, say what you want about Slay as far as people are saying personally, he was just too sensitive or too soft. But Slade was a big player in Detroit. I liked his game in Detroit. He brought a level of excitement. He was just a fun guy. He was always active in the community, you know, going to local sporting events, college and high school. You know, partnering with local businesses with Hungry Howie's, the pizza place. So he was always active in the community in Detroit. And I wish him luck in Philadelphia. Him and I had one thing in common. We both like Kobe Bryant. I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Always will be. And he changed his number to 24 because that was Kobe's favorite number. And the Philadelphia Eagles was Kobe's favorite team. So he's going to pay homage to his hero, Kobe Bryant, by wearing 24 in Philadelphia. But let's get into this. We're going to hop into it on 2 points conversing. All right, 2 points conversing. Darius Slay's comments about Matt Patricia leaving the Lions, saying what he said to him, saying that he needed to stop sucking some man's private parts on Instagram and telling him the first meeting that he didn't need to be working out with Richard Sherman and Khalid Tlaib and those other guys. Xavier Rhodes. And you come in the door, Matt Patricia, and this is my feeling on it. I understand when you're a leader and you change organizations, you come into somewhere new, because I did that plenty of times in the military. You can come in hard because you want to set the tone for your leadership. And it's easier to come in hard and become more lenient than it is to come in lenient and change the hard. But there's just certain things you don't say to grown individuals. You know, I would never tell a grown man to stop, you know, sucking another man's private parts and in front of everyone, in front of my whole unit. You know, I wouldn't do that. It's just certain things you just don't do. You treat people with respect. Now, there's one thing, if, you know, I believe you can coach hard without being demeaning. You know what I'm saying? You can coach someone hard and get the best out of them without being a, you know, excuse my language, being an asshole. Certain things you just can't say to a man, a grown man, and expect them to adhere to your policies or the way that you coach. I mean, you can coach hard and still be respectful. You know, that's one thing. And people say, well, you know, you can't be soft. It's not about being soft. It's about respect. And, you know, you have a guy, and he came in and he told Slater he wasn't elite. He had just came off an all-pro year. He was first team all pro. That's elite, my man. He had just led the league with 8 interceptions. I just don't understand what his mindset was coming into the Lions and treating his star player, probably the best player on the Lions coming that year, and just come in and just tearing him down in training camp. What do you think about that?
I think Patricia, a couple things. One, stop trying to be like Bill Belichick. And two, improve your people skills. You know, I could be a leader, effective leader in a business world. You know, you can be effective, gain respect of your subordinates or your players.
Right.
About like being demeaning. He came in the wrong way. You're saying first impressions count. Right. And this is true. I think, you know, Patricia came in, you know, he, like we talked about this before, before he was hired by the Lions, everybody was basically kissing Patricia's behind, saying he was the next great coach. He's a hard worker. He's very intelligent. He learned from the best, Bill Belichick.
Right.
I mean, everybody, you know, he saw the praise he was getting before he took the Lions job, and he was the coach of the future. Well, still, like, this is why so many New England coaches fail. I mean, learn the Belichick. Everybody can't be like Belichick. You got to be yourself. You got to, you know, form your own identity. You have to gain respect your players. That Patriot way doesn't work outside the organization. It only works in New England. I mean, so this is why they brought so many former Patriot players in, because they understand the Patriot way. They don't take what either he or Belichick said personally. They understand it. But to an outsider, you're being, like I said, an asshole or a jerk. I mean, you don't even know me. You're talking to me like this. This meant me. First impressions count. So he has to improve his people skills.
Right.
And definitely.
Right. I understand that. You know, even had some other players come in and say some things that he said to Kerryon Johnson. He ripped him up in front of the whole team because he didn't know something in about Ford Field, like when Ford was Ford Field built, because they had all this Lions history around the room. And then there definitely is, say that that was one of the reasons why Glover Quinn was just retired out of just nowhere, where he was just like shut it down because he didn't want to play for Patricia. you can do this. I mean, looking at the Lions, it's definitely a level of embarrassment right now for the Lions. Looking at the national media coverage, you just hear all of the stories of individuals just ripping Patricia. Now, there's one, the guy from Pro Football Talk, he was talking to Peter King. Well, I like the way Patricia is coming in, how Bill Belichick did in the early years at the Patriots. Look, you have to look at, that was 20 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? And like, mm-hmm. Bill Belichick had a cachet as a head coach. He coached the Browns and he led them to the playoffs prior to them moving to Baltimore the first, you know, before, you know, when that franchise changed and then they came back. But Belichick had a history of being a head coach and he had been an assistant head coach, you know, up there in New England. So there's a difference between being Bill Belichick and having a cachet and having a history of winning. So you can come in and do that. The guys don't want to hear that crap coming into the Lions. You know, you haven't had your cachet as a head coach to come in and do that. Now, do I think it's an end all be all that he needs to be fired right now? I don't think so. I think he just needs to really address it. You know, he hasn't addressed the media on this topic, even if he made a statement where he doesn't have to come out and be on camera, but do a press release. Now, I will say to his, not to his defense, but his credit, Darius Slay did say that he did come and apologize to him later in 2019, where he did say last season they had a better working relationship on the Lions because of the fact that they, you know, he just kind of backed down. There's a definitely change in Matt Patricia with working with the team from 2018 to 2019. But, you know, he just kind of came in and, you know, and tried to instill that hard-nosed way of coaching. It just doesn't work anymore. You know, if you look at the Patriots right now, you know, besides a couple people, some of those guys are moving on as well from the Patriots. Tom Brady moving on and a few other guys. So, you know, I just think that you can't coach everyone the same way. You can't establish yourself being someone else. So he can't establish himself as Matt Patricia trying to be Bill Belichick. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what I said. Stop being everybody, you know, everybody says, stop trying to be Bill Belichick. This is why so many former Patriot assistants fail when they get their jobs. Stop trying to be like Belichick. Be yourself. You're not the Patriots. You don't have Tom Brady. You don't have the support system that you had in New England. You know, forge your own identity. And speaking of the Patriots, because Brady and some other guys left, I'm going to call it first on the Patriots. This is the year that they're going to go down, their downfall. They're going to have a sub-500 record and obviously miss the playoffs. You heard from me first, Pope.
All right. What do you think? 5-11, 6-10, 7-9?
About that, yeah. It sounds right. Either somewhere between 5 and 7 victories for the Patriots this year.
Okay.
And I predict that quarterback, you know, he's going to go out and either get Jameis or Cam Newton to be his starting quarterback to replace Brady.
Okay. All right. So, but looking at that Darius Slay thing, it did hurt me. Like I said, I had a plush football that I sent to Quandre Diggs a couple years ago, and Slay signed it as well. So he always have a big part for me as far as the Lions history is concerned. He's one of the best cornerbacks the Lions have ever had. So, I mean, a big shout out to my man, Darius Slay. And as far as in modern times, you know, I won't put him up there with Dick Geron or you know, Night Train Lane or anything like that, but he is one
Lynn
of
Barney.
Lynn Barney, but he is one of the best modern corners that we had on the team. You know, he's right up there with Dre Bly and those guys, the likes of those guys. So Darius Slay moving on to Philadelphia, where he's going to reunite with the coach that drafted him. Good old Schwartz. Jim Schwartz will be his defensive coordinator. So I think that'd be good.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Let me say this real quickly, and we can put the whole Slay controversy to bed. If the Lions had won more games, obviously some championships on the previous teams like Jim Schwartz and Jim Caldwell or Rod Marinelli, chances are Patricia never would be here. So let that stick on that piece.
Well, Caldwell was a winning coach. Caldwell didn't have a losing season in Detroit. He didn't have a losing season. I mean, he won every year. And that's the problem with the Matt Patricia hire and the Jim Caldwell fire for myself is that the fact, okay, we missed the playoffs. He went 9-7. In the last two seasons, Patricia only has 9 wins in 2 seasons. He's been 9-22-1. So that I think for real, I mean, to be honest with you, this is his last shot. And this is Bob Quinn's last shot for a winning product in Detroit. To be honest with you, if this doesn't really pan out, do you think the league needs to step in and not only Detroit, but I would say in other organizations. But if you look at what the NBA did for when New Orleans or LA, I know with the Clippers. Now, the Clippers is a different thing with the Donald Sterling thing. But do you think the league needs to step in and say, hey, you know, you guys aren't doing anything to improve this franchise, and we need to change the leadership and the ownership of this team? Do you think that it'd be a viable thing for the board of governors of the NFL to step in and say, hey, you guys aren't fit to lead this team any longer if this doesn't pan out the next season?
I would love that for that to happen. I'm sure a lot of other Lions fans would love that to happen. I mean, because four families owned the Lions for since 1963, almost 60 years. And what have they done? I mean, we became the Chicago Cubs of the NFL. At least the Cubs finally did win the World Series a few years ago. But now we're going to get our first bowl victory or pennant, but I want a victory. Yeah, something's got to be done. Something's got to give. If they stepped in, I wouldn't get in their way. And something needs to be done with this franchise.
Right. I just think that the franchise, I think Detroit and the fans of Detroit, I mean, need to have a winning product. We've been loyal for years and we don't have anything to show for it. I mean, there's a lot of people that I know have jumped ship some years ago that are no longer Lions fans, that were diehard Lions fans for decades, and this, they couldn't take it anymore. Their heart couldn't take it. I'm going to stick it out. That's just me. You know, I just had to ask a question. I'm not calling for the Fords to be removed. But however, if Patricia doesn't get it done this year, I am calling for him to be removed and Bob Quinn. Now, I will say this, it is hard to build a culture changing coaches every 2 or 3 years. Would you say that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to build a winner if you're changing coaches. Now, I will say this. If you're holding on to some for somebody too long, that can create a bad thing. Look at Marvin Lewis, you know, didn't win a playoff game all those seasons in Cincinnati. Not saying he wasn't a good coach. He was a very good coach, but he just couldn't get him over the hump. Now, maybe that may be the case with Patricia if it happens, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, is he talented as far as his offensive mind? Yes. I mean, defensive mind? Yes, but it hasn't panned out. And one thing that was brought up is that even with his design of the defense, he did not call the plays in New England as a defensive coordinator. That was still on Bill Belichick. So with all his defensive mindset and things that he did as far as designing the defense, he still was not in charge of calling the plays. That was still on the head coach of Bill Belichick. So, hey, you know, we had to do it, you know, talk about that stuff, man. Shawnee J. Now, before we get out of here, we got to play our favorite game. You know, we didn't do the other normal segment that we are always usually do, but it is always good to play Stump the Sean.
Bring it. I'm ready.
All right. My man, Shawnee J. We're going to play Stump the Sean this week. And I got my good old trivia.
Before you do, let me tell the people, I have no idea what he's going to ask me, people. So it's not like I have the answers in front of me. I have no idea what he's going to ask.
He does not. Shawnee J is in Detroit. I am here in North Carolina. So let's hop to it. Okay. Which Lions player led the league in field goal accuracy in 1956?
In 1956?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Bobby Lane?
Bobby Lane is correct. Bobby Lane led the league with in field goal kicking duties in 1956. He led the league in field goal accuracy.
Right. I know he was a quarterback and a place kicker for the Lions back in those days.
All right. So next up, which Lion player holds the team record for career interceptions? I know you should know this one.
Could you repeat the question, please? I'm sorry, I hear it all.
Which player holds the team record for career interceptions for the Detroit Lions?
Career interceptions?
Yes.
Well, like I said, I hate the Buckeyes, but he's one of my favorite all-time Buckeyes, Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau is correct.
Right. So like I said, they draft Okuda or Young or Dobbins. You know, I love them like they were my sons.
All right. We went on here. All right. So how many consecutive 100-yard games did running back Barry Sanders have in 1997?
97?
Yep. Yeah.
14, because I remember that well. I'm going with 14 because I remember he started off slow the first two games, but he went over 100 last the final 14 games to break the 2000 mark.
Okay. That is correct. All right. Here's
I remember that year well.
All right, here's a harder question for you. How many Lions players had on the team did they play a game against with the Green Bay Packers in 1934? So how many players did the team play against the Green Bay Packers on December 4th, 1932? So basically, how many players played in the game?
Oh, Oh boy, he's going way back. He's going with Lions' origins, their first year in the league, basically.
Yep. That,
so that's the question was.
That's back when they would have sailed the Portsmouth Spartans. So basically, how many players play in the game against the Packers on December 4th,
1932? I'm gonna say a lot of players are two-way players. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna say about a total of 12 players.
Oh man, you were close. You didn't get that one. It was 11 players.
Oh,
Iron Man game. They play back and forth for that game. All right. So last question is, what Motown singer cried out for the Lions in 1970?
What's going on? Mr. Marvin Gaye.
That's right. Marvin Gaye bulked up 30 pounds and tried to play for the Lions. He tried out. He worked out with Charlie Sanders and tried out for a wide receiver. He did not make the team. But there we go. Stump Deshaun. We asked 4 questions this week, and he answered 3 out of 4. It is really hard.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. I'm sorry. It's really hard to stump Deshaun because he knows his Lions trivia. All right. Now it's time for us to get on out of here. So my man, Shiny J, tell the people how they can get a hold of you.
I'm always on Facebook, people. Shawn Jennings. You'll see my handsome profile pic. You know it's me. I'm also the head administrator of Detroit Truist fans, Lions Truist fans on Facebook, your number one Facebook group of the Lions on the web. And if you want to join, just send me a request.
All right. So on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com, Diehard DN Podcast. On Twitter, it's at Diehard DN Pod T1. On Instagram, is die_hard_den_podcast. You can email the show, diehardDNPodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, it's Diehard DN Podcast. And as always, definitely hit the subscribe button down below and hit the doggone little like button as well. Hit the notification button every time we get new content on Facebook. Hit the share button. Give us a like. You know, check us out here at the Die Hard DN Podcast. And as always, you can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CurtisDale14@gmail.com. You can also find me over in a lot of those Facebook groups as far as Detroit Lions Truist fans, Detroit Lions diehards, and a plethora of most of the major Detroit Lions fan pages. You know, we appreciate you listening to the show. We want to bring you some fresh new content, but the bulk of the show today was to talk about the Lions 2020 new league year and how we are starting out the year with our personnel moves. And again, good luck to my man Darius Slay and to all those players, Graham Glasgow and Jeff Driscoll and all those former Lions that signed elsewhere, Mr. A'shaun Robinson as well. Hey, Shawnee J, you want to say anything parting to the people before we get out of here?
Yes, people, I want to say, you know, these some perilous times living in, but stay faithful, stay positive, wash your hands, and we'll get through it just in time for football season. Go Lions.
All right. Definitely. And as always, hey, stay safe out there from the Corona-19 virus, the COVID-19. Like Shawnee J said, wash your hands, wear a mask, just stay safe. Hey, and as always, this is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard DN Podcast, and we are out.